Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, beware, my Lord, of jealousy. It is the green-eyed monster which doth mock the meat it feeds on. If that rings a bell at all with you, it's maybe because you are a student of Shakespeare, and you might recall in his play Othello, the time when Iago warns his master against the green-eyed monster of envy, jealousy. Well, what is that? It is malicious judging. It can take place between even just two people. I want what you have. I want to be what you are, to the extent that I am not what I want to be, or I don't have what I want to have. I become angry and lustful for that which I want. When you think about it, we are a society that is obsessed with what other people have. And we can't be happy if our life isn't like other people's lives. Maybe it's not having the looks that we want. Maybe it's not having other people's money or possessions. Maybe it could be their position that they have that we want for ourselves. Maybe it's a desperate desire for their popularity. And maybe it could just be their apparent happiness. It is a green-eyed monster. I think Shakespeare had it right. And it easily wants to trap us. And that's the warning that we have for today as we dig into God's Word and remind ourselves there is a real danger in not being content with God's blessings that He has given to us, and instead wanting that which we cannot have. So let's take a look today at that encouragement, beware the green-eyed monster. You know, we saw an example in our gospel for today of Jesus' disciples not being happy with who they were. They were arguing about which of them was the greatest. But we have another story today which reminds us about that monster of envy as well, and that's in our Old Testament lesson. And it includes three main figures, doesn't it? Moses and his older sister Miriam and his older brother Aaron. And an amazing thing happens. Listen as it starts again. We're told Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. Kind of an interesting situation. Apparently, Moses' wife Zipporah had died, and now he remarried. But he married a woman who was a Cushite. Well, what is a Cushite? In modern day thinking, it is Ethiopia. It is the southern end of the Nile River. And just like today, the people of Ethiopia probably had darker skin in those days than did the people of Israel who had settled way up in northern Goshen. And it bothered the brother and sister of Moses. Now, remember who they are. Miriam was probably 7 years old when Moses was born. Remember, she was the one who had kind of spied as that basket that Moses had been set in by his mother in the river was picked up by the daughter of Pharaoh. And she was the one who said, "Do you want me to find a nurse for him?" And the daughter of Pharaoh said, yes. She had been watching out for her little brother for a long time, as did his older brother, Aaron. Now, Aaron was no slouch himself. He apparently was a good speaker, and he was also the first high priest of Israel. So both of them had maybe a leg up in some ways on Moses, but it was that leg up that made them a little bit bitter toward him. They didn't like the fact that he had married a Cushite. Maybe it was a little bit of that national pride that they had as descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They already were becoming a people who were proud of their nationality, and they just didn't seem right that he'd be marrying a woman of another nation. But they didn't pick so much on that as much as their resentment against Moses for being the one God had chosen. Notice what is said. They said, "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses?" they asked. "Hasn't he also spoken through us?" As if to say, "Who are you, Moses, you who marry this Cushite woman? Why do we have to listen to you?" Now, had God spoken through them? Yes, absolutely. You could say that Miriam was the first lady of Israel. She was the prophetess of all the women of Israel. And, of course, Aaron was very important too as the high priest. And yet they were forgetting one very important thing. As much as God had favored them and put them in high positions of respect, he had chosen Moses. Moses, their younger brother, was to truly be the prophet of Israel, the one who led the people of Israel to freedom and to the promised land. It's interesting how in verse 3 the Lord says that Moses was the most humble man in the land. You know, that word humble can also mean poor or afflicted, and that seems to be the case here. Moses did not want this position. Moses felt very unworthy of being the leader of Israel. Remember how he had actually pleaded with God, "Please, Lord, find somebody else to do this." The weight of the responsibility pressed down on his shoulders. No, he was not a proud man at all. They were rebelling against God. It wasn't just against Moses. And God had to deal with this. How easily we too resent the position that the Lord puts us in this life when we see other people being more important, more prominent in their life, maybe having more money, maybe being honored and respected and revered more than others. And who are we? Don't we also become easily envious of those who are around us? It's our sinful nature to want to be the top dog. We might have to ask ourselves some important questions like these. Are you upset when acquaintances advance professionally or socially and you don't? Or do you feel pain because of another person's successes, wishing those successes were yours? Do you at times belittle the accomplishments of others, maybe the talents that others have? Do you at times find yourself tempted to badmouth or sabotage a person whom you feel inferior to? Or are you secretly pleased when a friend, even a loved one, suffers a setback? You know, the Germans have a word for that. They call it Schadenfreude. It means a shameful kind of pleasure in other people's setbacks. Well, that happens to us too sometimes, doesn't it? All of that is a result of envy, where Satan is putting his claws in our hearts. And you think of how the Lord warns us about envy. Many passages, but I'm just going to share with you two. One is the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 30. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. How Satan loves to have our bones rot with envy and discontent toward other people. Or we think of those words from our epistle lesson for today, from James chapter 3, where James reminds us, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." How often envy leads to gossip, to hatred, to anger, to stealing, to things even worse than that. It destroys us. Satan is pleased when he can get us caught up in that green-eyed monster of envy. It wants to devour you. And, you know, if you were left to yourself and your own strength, it would. You would die. You and I are not strong enough to fight Satan and his temptations. We need God to deliver us. And we find a beautiful example here in the life of Moses and Miriam, how he did just that. "And the Lord heard this," are the words that we hear. Ooh, that spells bad news for those who are trying to hide from God. Miriam and Aaron maybe weren't thinking that the Lord was listening in to their conversation. The Lord heard this. And immediately he came to them and said, "You three, come out into the desert. Come to my tent of meeting," where Moses often did meet with the Lord under his cloud of glory. They did meet. Miriam and Aaron had to step forward, and God spoke to them. And he said to them this, "When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" The anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. Well, you saw what the Lord did to Miriam. As soon as the glory of the Lord departed, Miriam suddenly was head to toe covered with white skin. We're not talking about Caucasian skin like mine. We're talking about snow white skin. In other words, dead skin, skin that had been destroyed by a disease, something like leprosy, something that would make her life miserable, that would make body parts fall off possibly, something that certainly would make her unclean, unclean before God, unable to come before him and worship, and unable to be with the rest of the people, Israel. She would have to live in a tent away from the camp of Israel for the rest of her life. Well, her brother Aaron was terrified when he saw this. He fell before his brother Moses, the one that he was too willing to down-talk, to badmouth, and he said to him, "My Lord, please ask God for help. Don't let this happen to our sister." And Moses listened. He who truly showed his humility before the Lord, he bowed down before the Lord and pleaded for God's mercy for his sister. And the Lord listened. He healed Miriam from her illness. At the same time, he showed her another kind of love, a disciplinary love. When he said, you know, if a father had to spit in his daughter's eyes, maybe because his daughter had done something terrible, maybe had brought shame down upon him, how long would she be set outside? Well, it was 7 days that she'd be separated from her family from the camp of Israel. Coincidentally, it was 7 days whenever somebody had a skin disease after they were declared clean that they could come back to the people of Israel. And that's what happened to Miriam. All the people of Israel heard about what had happened when she dared to lift her voice against her brother, when she dared to show such pride and arrogance and envy for his position. She would be cut off for 7 days and then could return. But friends, this truly was a grace and a mercy from God. He was fighting for his daughter. He did not want her to be cut off from him forever because of unrepentance and a despising of his grace and his peace. He invited her to come back. You think about that. That's what the Lord does for us too. Just like he chased after Miriam, his wayward daughter, and Aaron, his wayward son, so he chases after us when we become envious or proud or jealous or develop a bad attitude towards him of any kind. He comes after us. He confronts us with our sin. It reminds us of Jesus and the way he treated his disciples when he found out that they were arguing which of them was the greatest. And he gathered them together. And he said to them, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." And notice how Jesus fulfilled this himself. Jesus showed them what true servanthood was by coming into the flesh for them, by taking on their guilt and sin, not by despising them, not by saying, "I will have nothing to do with you," but by saying, "I am your Savior," taking on their guilt and ultimately being killed for it. What a servant he was. He made himself nothing that they might become something. When we think of the day that Jesus had his disciples before him in the upper room, and instead of being the mighty Lord, takes off his outer garment, puts on the clothes of a servant, and washes their feet, that's when we start to get the understanding of who our Savior really is. No envy, no pride, no jealousy, just love for human beings. You know, the Lord comes after all of us with that kind of love. He comes to meet with us, doesn't he? He comes to meet with us in his word as he opens it up before us in our home devotions and private readings or in the readings we have here at church. He comes after us to talk to us. He comes after us in his sacrament as he gives us his very body and his very blood and said, "Here, take this, eat, drink, do this in remembrance of me for the forgiveness of your sins. I don't want you to stay where you're at. I want you to share in my holiness." He does it as he gathers his church. It's one of those things we think about during this time of COVID, where we've been tempted to just stay away from people because they are unclean, that maybe it's time for us to be reminded, yes, but God wants us to be together with his family, with his body. That's where he meets with us. And yes, he does come to meet with us with his discipline for our life, sometimes causing us to go through difficulties that we too may ask, "Lord, have mercy on us, heal us, and bring us close to your presence." You and I can both be grateful that God did not permit Aaron and Miriam to get away with that sin of envy and that rebellion that they staged against their younger brother. Instead, we can be grateful when he catches us also, maybe being caught up by that green-eyed monster of envy that gets a hold of our hearts too. God, fill us with hearts of his grace, of forgiveness, and the joy of his eternal peace, that the green-eyed monster of envy may be dead to us forever. Amen.